Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Well, this is a privilege because in our business, this is one of the legends. I think now 37th year as the play-by-play voice of Oregon football, and was a longtime play-by-play voice of Oregon basketball, Jerry Allen. Jerry, it's a privilege. Great to have you with us.
Oh, man, I appreciate that intro, but what all that really means is that I'm old. That's why I've been here so long.
That's what I tell people. Like, this will be 32 for me, and then 42 for basketball. I say the same thing. I can't find somebody else, so it's good.
Yeah.
When I'll take you back almost 14 months, when you found out USC and UCLA were going to the Big Ten, what ran through your mind 14 months ago?
Shock. I mean, because there was nothing leaked out. There was nothing talked about as it might possibly happen. Like, wow, this could be they're not really going to do this, would they? No, it just flat got dropped on us, and it was a shock. It took a while to recover, realize what it meant to the Pac-12. It was going to become the Pac-10. And then we started thinking, are they the only two? I mean, how do you replace the L.A. market? That's a huge deal. So, yeah, it was unsettling.
From time to time, there had been some rumors initially about Oregon and Washington. That was initially. You know, what were you thinking then when you started hearing the carrot being dangled and then suddenly it seemed like it wasn't there any longer?
Well, initially it was, no, come on, let's hold the Pac-12 together. There's too much history here. There's just, it's been 100 years, almost 100 years, and so Oregon playing against the Huskies, the Ducks and the Beavers. I mean, so many great games against Stanford through the years. We're not going there. Thanks for the offer, but we're going to stay on the West Coast. We need to make sure there's a West Coast presence for a Power 5 conference. And so that was the thought. Now, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes with how serious those offers were, how big that carrot was. But I think a lot of us were like, no, we got to stay together.
Then when the TV contract came out and it was the Apple numbers, and Apple refused to have a linear partner to go with them, that's when everybody started to scatter. Now that the dust is settling, and I know there's still another Pac-12 season to go, what did you think in the end about Oregon and Washington in combination going to the Big Ten?
Well, I think it was the right thing to do. I think you got to survive. I think you need to make sure that you take care of yourself. You hate to take off on the Pac-12, but Colorado had already gone. Arizona and Arizona State were making overtures, Utah possibly, and you could just see the writing on the wall. And so the feeling was, if you get an offer that is even at least equal to what Apple was going to present, I would myself say go for it, because it's going to give you some linear TV. Now, 5 years from now, TV is not probably going to be nearly as important, but right now it is, particularly for recruiting. So it was. Mixture of just angst and sadness. We're leaving the Pac-12. That means it's probably going to die. But how exciting to be moving to the Big Ten, where there are so many traditional programs that we used to look forward to playing because they were so well-respected.
Give us an idea, for many who have never been there, what a Saturday is like in Autzen Stadium.
Well, at one time, and different coaches, depending on when they played, how well they played against Oregon, will call Autzen the loudest stadium they've ever played in. I think Lloyd Carr, some years ago when Michigan came out and the Ducks beat him, it was just deafening in here, and the Ducks beat Michigan, and he was quoted as saying, anywhere we have that quote up on the wall in the locker room somewhere, Autzen Stadium is where great teams go to die. which was awesome for Oregon at the time, because we really had not arrived yet. So it's only a 60,000 seat stadium. They can squeeze a few more in, but the configuration and the fans are crazy, like one would expect college football fans to be. And there's no real sports teams around, so this is a real focus, and it's pretty exciting around here. It is a fun day.
I actually end up watching a lot of Pac-12 football based on my schedule. I'll come back from broadcasting a game, whether it's on the road or even here at home, and I'll end up watching a Pac-12 game. So I watched last year, and I know this will bring up painful memories, but the Oregon-Oregon State game last year. What becomes of that moving forward with the possibility of three non-conference games?
Well, they're, you know, that's mixed. You're going to get mixed answers from a lot of different people. I think there are a lot of fans that are you know, scrambling to try to push Oregon and Oregon State administrations to find a way to keep that series going, keep playing each other. There are some fans that, you know, don't care. I mean, you know, let's move on. All right, Oregon State's got to deal with their own problems, trying to find somewhere to go. I think it would be sad to end what we used to call the Civil War, and we can't call it that anymore. They still haven't come up with a name for it. But it's a tradition-rich game with two schools that are 38 miles apart. And the Beavers have got a great program. Holy cow, they beat Oregon last year, and Jonathan Smith's got them riding high. So to not be able to keep playing the Beavers somehow, at least every other year, would be really sad.
You're somebody that's very in tune with the fan base. What have they said about all this to you?
I think, surprisingly to me, most people understand why the Pac-12 is falling apart, why it's not going to be the Pac-12 anymore. And they know sort of who to blame, and that goes back probably to Larry Scott some years ago when right. he could never get the Pac-12 network fully engaged. He had two of the three partners they needed in TV deals. I think DirecTV is the one that never did jump on board. And so they were down a third of the money they needed, and that started the process. And then when television contracts started coming up for renewal and nobody was stepping up, and people start reading the headlines and hearing the news, only Apple TV, no linear TV, fans are pretty smart. They got it. They understand. So I think most fans are disappointed with the loss of the Pac-12 and the tradition, but they understand why it happened.
This has a chance to be a really good Oregon team. We saw Jack Hamm and I had a good long look at Bo Nixon here 2 years ago when Auburn came in. And Bo played well that night. He did not turn it over. He played well, but Penn State won the game. Jerry, he had a terrific season last year. Why do you think he had the season he had last year? And the second part of this, Will Stein comes in as the new offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Anything potentially different because of a new OC and quarterback coach?
Well, the first part of that, Bo, I think, needed just a fresh start somewhere where he had fans behind him. I mean, he's a not an overly emotional kid, but he's very sensitive. He hears things, he knows what's being said, and he cares. And I think he felt like he didn't have the support of the fans, and the media is part of that too. You know, the guy struggles a little bit here and there, and the quarterback's going to get blamed. So he just wasn't comfortable, and he wanted to play football somewhere else and have a good fun last year without, I think, people kind of picking on him. And so he comes to Oregon, and he is an unbelievably nice young man. I mean, he's as good as it gets. I mean, I have two daughters, and if they were a lot younger, I'd be doing everything I could to get him to marry. He's perfect. I mean, he really is. And he's got the team right. He got the team right away. I mean, they welcomed him with open arms, and he matured and just became a relaxed quarterback and quality athlete that he always was. But the last couple of years at Auburn, you know, just were kind of, he never could relax and do that. I think he cared too much. He's a different man out here now, and he's got the team. He got married the summer before that first season last year, mm-hmm. So maturity had a lot to do with it. And you're not going to see anything different. I mean, I've heard some of the coaches say, "Hey, nothing's broke. You're not going to fix anything. You're going to keep doing what you do." They got a great receiving core, some great returning receivers. The running backs are unbelievable. Offensive line, they got to replace four starters, but they've got six other guys that played significant minutes behind those starters. So they're pretty solid on offense. I don't think you're going to see, I mean, even you're going to see some variations in the way they do some things, but it's still, you know, run the ball, throw the ball, Bo Nix is going to create. He only got sacked five times last year. Now, a lot of that was the offensive line, but a lot of it was Bo and his ability to read and escape. So I think they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, I remember doing the Penn State-Auburn game and leading up. I just kind of felt like being a legacy. There was so much put on his shoulders down there that it would be almost impossible for anybody to beat. And I was glad he got out to Oregon and had the season he had, because I've heard the same thing about him, that you know personally that he's a terrific guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're lucky. To have him. I'll just say that. I mean, sometimes those transfers don't work, but this is the best possible scenario.
Dan Lanning, you've had, really, in my mind, starting with Rich Brooks, who coached against Penn State in the Rose Bowl in 94 and had a really terrific team, and you're quarterback only threw for 400 yards in the game. I was a witness.
Carter?
Carter, and your quarterback was Danny O'Neill, I think, right?
Yeah, one for Carter. Oregon has a chance to win that game, but he was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah, three touchdowns in that game, including on the first play Penn State had from its scrimmage. But when you look at Dan Lanning, who's the latest, coming in from Georgia, everyone understands what works, and they also have their own ways of doing things that may be subtle. What do you like about Dan Lanning?
It's hard to put your finger on it. I got a chance to meet him when he was first introduced. We talked a little while. I was familiar with him when he was at Georgia. I'm 75 years old, and I'm getting to a point where I think, how many more years I'm going to do this? It's still fun. I like doing it. But another coaching change, and we've been through some. So, after I talked to Dan Lanning, I was juiced. And I told him personally, I said, Coach, I was entertaining some thoughts of maybe hanging it up. But I said, I believe in you so much, and you haven't even coached a damn game yet. I believe in you so much. I'll be here until you're gone. I believe you can win a national championship. And I do. He's young, brings in some new ideas. He's a terrific defensive mind. And he just, you're drawn to him. And there are a lot of coaches like him. I mean, he's not unbelievably special in that he's different than a lot of great coaches. But he has that it factor that makes you want to stay close to him because you just think he's going to be successful.
Come on, you got to stay in long enough where you and I meet each other a few times. Come on.
Oh, I promise I will. I'm not going anywhere soon.
But one thing that you did do, you did primarily basketball for a long time, and Dana does a great job with the program there. But that's one area where you slowed down a bit because family meant so much to you. And I think that's something that people are, there's so much travel that goes into this. Your family obviously is the center of your universe, and you showed that by what you did with the basketball part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. I miss doing basketball unbelievably. I mean, it hurts not to be there doing it. But I also, through my career, have missed so much of my children's, birthdays and holidays and games and all of that. And then my wife's had a few back surgeries in her health.
Yeah.
I mean, she's certainly not critical, but she needs me more. And I with basketball, you're gone 4, 5, 6 days in a row every 2 weeks, and it was like I'm worrying about her, and she's uncomfortable about me. And so I had to make a decision between two things that I love. Well, I love her a lot more than basketball, so it was pretty easy. It was easy, and you totally understand that.
Yeah. I do have to ask you about Game 4. How interested are you with the Deons? It's going to be only one time, really, Oregon plays them, because they'll go to the Big 12, you'll go to the Big 10. How interested are you to see what a Deion Sanders team looks like?
I'm really curious. I'm looking for their first game. I'll watch every game because I don't know whether they're going to be really bad or surprisingly good. Usually, expansion teams in the NFL or baseball or whatever don't go well for them. And this is an expansion team, basically.
Yeah.
This is all new guys. So, but it's Deion, and there's some Hollywood in there. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to see what they do.
I love that. There's some Hollywood in there. That is so great. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jerry, I'm so glad you could give us some time today. I really appreciate it, and I am so looking forward to having Oregon and you in the Big Ten, because you have one of the sterling reputations out there, and it's a privilege to have you a part of the group.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I'm really excited to get out and see the venues that we haven't been to, meet new people, you included, and just continue what has been an unbelievably fun career. And so thanks for having me. And, you know, let's not wait till next year to do this. You know, if you want to catch up to Oregon when they're still undefeated, late November, going for the college football playoff,
give me a call. You know what? Now, that's a possibility, and I'll tell you right now, I will make that call.
Okay, but if we're 4-7, I won't answer the phone, okay?
As somebody who walks the same path you do, I wouldn't make the call. Jerry, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. And have a great, great season. I know you will.
I thank you. I appreciate it. Bless you guys. And let's talk again soon. Bye-bye, guys.